From WYPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. There's a lot of evidence that social isolation hurts the elderly. The AARP Foundation is working to combat senior loneliness with a pilot program using voice-activated technology.
We're hearing from a lot of folks that it's producing that emotional response that can really combat loneliness that is all too common in older adults as they're aging.
We talk with Lisa Budlow of the Associated Comprehensive Housing Assistance Incorporated, whose clients are testing out the technology. And Edith Yankelov, age 87, tells us about her experience taking part in the project.
Then at night I say goodnight, Alexa, and she'll say to me, good night, happy dreams. And it's like talking to somebody that's in the room.
It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at WYPR.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@WYPR.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. Social circles can dwindle with age, and there's much evidence that social isolation hurts the elderly. It can impact more than the quality of life. The health effects of prolonged isolation are equivalent to smoking 15 cigarettes a day, according to the journal Perspectives on Psychological Science. The American Association of Retired Persons Foundation is working to combat the senior squeeze toward loneliness. Its initiative, Connect to Affect, raises awareness about the dangers of isolation and provides information and solutions for aging adults to stay connected and engaged for good health. Later in the show, we'll meet an 87-year-old who is part of a pilot that employs voice-activated technology to connect her to her neighbors and the greater community. Here to tell us about that pilot, tentatively called Voice Buddy, is Zach Leverance, who is Vice President of Impact Areas at the AARP Foundation. Welcome to On the Record, Zach.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
What are we talking about when we refer to isolation? It's not just about being alone.
Isolation has many roots in older adults, especially, which is what we're focused on. Some of those include kind of poor physical or mental health, poorly designed communities, major life events such as loss of a spouse or a loved one, and then things that we all go through, like retirement or linguistic and cultural factors can be a part of it. And then you can be isolated without being alone by living in a relationship that is unfulfilling. So isolation is very unique to the individual. But what is clear is that the growing body of research shows that it's a huge problem for especially for older adults. About 8 million older adults are isolated, and that the correlated health outcomes, regardless of the root of isolation, are very negative for all.
What is the Voice Buddy pilot?
The Voice Buddy pilot is a some work we're doing to try to combat social isolation among low-income older adults who are living in senior housing communities, low-income senior housing communities. So we're testing whether voice-assisted technology can make it easy and fast and even fun for older adults to connect with their community, with their fellow residents, and to discover and deepen new relationships through the technology. So practically what that means is that we are installing Amazon Alexa devices, so both the Echo and the Dot, the Dot's just the smaller version of the Echo, into the homes, into the senior housing units across entire buildings in these five senior housing communities in Baltimore, Maryland, Washington, D.C. The device also requires that you have an app on your smartphone and that you have internet connectivity in your unit. So those are the two conditions and that must be true for the voice-activated technology to work in the unit. So we provide the device, that installation process, and in the front end of this, work with the community, the housing community, to ensure that the participants have both the Wi-Fi they need and a smartphone with the app downloaded before we begin the process. I think the key thing to remember is that it's not about the technology itself that we're using voice-activated devices. It's really about fostering human connections through the technology.
Who is participating?
Yeah, so we've had 5 senior housing communities in Baltimore, Maryland, and Washington, D.C. It's approximately 170 individuals to date who are participating in the pilot. They receive a device, one-to-one installation, and a tutorial on how to use it. And then we work very closely with the resident coordinators in each of those properties to help facilitate the wraparound trainings and education curriculum to help support the users.
So I'm kind of lost. Wraparound trainings, education curriculum.
Sure.
Tell me more about what's actually happening.
So what we found is that much like any new technology, there's a learning curve, and this is independent of your age. Though we know that adoption of new technologies is much lower among older adults and among low-income older adults. So there's a kind of a deep dive required at the beginning of the pilots with the participants to understand the technology, become comfortable with the language and with the functionality of the technology, and then also to understand what is possible through the technology in moving towards those goals we mentioned around improving social connectedness.
You mentioned senior communities in Baltimore and D.C. One of the ones you're working with is the Comprehensive Housing Assistance Incorporated, or CHAI,
yes,
in the pilot, right?
Correct.
And there have been 3 phases to the pilot?
Yeah, so the first phase was really just kind of finding the right partners. We wanted to focus on senior housing communities in the beginning because we know that, one, it's a great way to test the efficacy of a program like this with an aggregated group of our low-income older adults, many of whom are already experiencing social isolation. The research indicates that even above the national average, those who are making a transition into senior housing have much higher prevalence rates, about 1 in 4 residents who report isolation. So we began in deploying the voice buddy devices, Amazon Alexas. Though we're agnostic to the technology, ultimately think about this in across multiple platforms. We then, in the second phase, began that adoption curve work, so driving folks toward the device, understanding why and how to use it, what it is and what it isn't. At the end of the day, the technology, again, is a neutral tool, and the goal is to enhance the social connection of the users. In this third phase, we're now introducing specific skills, or the equivalent in the mobile phone world is apps, to specifically designed to promote and foster connection. Some of those apps make residents and users aware of events happening in their building or in their local community. Others and connect them directly to other residents, maybe as part of an affinity group. And they're able to talk to each other through the device or to meet up in person. And so, yes, we have 3 phases. Each is kind of a progression in leveraging the technology to reduce social isolation at each phase.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast, speaking with Zach Leverance, Vice President of Impact Areas at the AARP Foundation, about combating senior isolation with the use of voice-activated technology. So, what are your findings so far?
Right. The findings have been very, very positive. We believe from the beginning that voice-assisted technology has the potential to leapfrog other technologies that older adults are beginning to use, including the most basic stuff like laptops and tablets that require sometimes a lot of counterintuitive understanding of how the interface works. With voice, everyone understands that interface. So we're able to leapfrog some of the existing barriers to technology adoption. Though that's still a very important part of the training. What we found is that as we've tested particular opportunities to connect folks through skills to community events, that there's a very high receptivity rate, that folks actually view Alexa, this voice-assisted technology, as a companion in their day-to-day interactions with it, that they rely on the information that is being presented to them to make decisions on how they think about their social lives through the device. And then we found that for those who are serving our participants at the resident level, there's a lot of operational efficiencies and opportunities to better communicate and serve low-income older adults in their senior housing properties through this type of technology. So the results have been very promising, though I would say that we're a few phases away yet from being able to draw a clean line between the introduction of this type of technology and opportunity and a reduction in social isolation. We're measuring that with pre- and post-surveys at every phase using the Duke Social Support Index as the tool there to measure isolation.
And you mentioned earlier you are agnostic about the technology. You're using the Amazon technology. Is that part of what you're evaluating?
Yes. So in terms of the voice-activated technologies, there are a lot of similarities across the various platforms. But there are some unique differences, too. So we're trying to understand through these pilots what the trade-offs are in using one platform versus another, and how ultimately to increase interoperability across platforms.
Well, in this evaluation, what are you looking for of the whole pilot? What is it that you're trying to understand?
Sure. And when we do pilots like this, it's also important, I think, to mention at the AARP Foundation, we have a very focused innovation process, and we consider this to be a prime example of how we test and iterate on ideas that ultimately can become full-fledged, mature programs within the foundation's portfolio. So we do three-month sprints where we test specific assumptions about the intervention, in this case the voice-activated technologies, and then decide how and if to move forward from sprint to sprint to into the next three-month module. So what we've our goals and what we've learned in this pilot thus far is that, one, we set out with a question: will low-income older adults adopt this type of technology? And if so, can it make meaningful impact against our goals in reducing social isolation as measured by the Duke Social Support Index in this case? So we've been able to establish in the affirmative, yes, that older adults in senior housing communities will adopt voice-activated technology, and not only will they adopt it, but they report almost unanimously that they really enjoy the technology. We haven't been able yet to prove the second piece, and that's what we're going to continue to work to do, mainly because there hasn't been enough time to know whether or not this will ultimately move the needle on reducing social isolation and therefore improving the health outcomes of the participants. That's ultimately the goal.
I appreciate your explaining it to us. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Zach Leverance is Vice President of Impact Areas of the AARP Foundation. We've been talking about combating social isolation of senior citizens by using voice-activated technology. The AARP Foundation's pilot program with local seniors is called Voice Buddy. Quick break now on the record, then we'll ask a participant in the pilot about her experience. I'm Sheila Cast. Stay with us.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about isolation and loneliness among older people and how the AARP Foundation is working to combat it with voice-activated technology. AARP engaged local seniors for a pilot called Voice Buddy. Edith Yankelov, who lives at Weinberg Woods Senior Housing, participated in the pilot and is here to tell us about her experience. Welcome to On the Record, Edith.
Thank you.
Also in studio is Lisa Budlow, Vice President of Aging in Community at the Associated's Comprehensive Housing Assistance Incorporated, or CHI. Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Lisa, how did CHI get connected with the AARP Foundation for this pilot?
Well, CHI and AARP are natural partners. So the AARP Foundation is interested in the same types of issues that we are interested in supporting seniors to live successfully in their homes. And we came together to connect the seniors that we work with to the foundation to do this kind of research.
The pilot is in its third phase.
Yes.
How has it worked so far?
It has been fascinating. The seniors that we have worked with are very engaged in this work. So we started the first pilot just to introduce the technology to the seniors.
And that was about how long ago?
That was in the summer of 2016. And we just wanted to see, will seniors actually speak to a smart speaker, to a tower? And we weren't sure how it was going to go. The results were much higher than we had expected. The seniors were engaging and much more often than we even had expected. So that gave us the opportunity to move forward into the second pilot. Now that we know the seniors will engage with the technology, what would they use it for? So we doubled the size of the pilot. The first pilot had about 20 or 25 seniors. The second pilot had 45. And we looked specifically at the types of uses that were most interesting to the seniors. So we found they were using weather apps. They were listening to the news. They were getting a daily news feed through their Alexa technology. They were engaging in a conversation, asking it to tell them jokes, and using it really to banter and to sort of enjoy the company of the Alexa.
Edith, did you use much technology before you started this pilot?
I have a computer, and I use it. I was using it, but I took classes in the senior center, and then they didn't go ahead. I wanted to go further.
So what was your reaction when you heard about this pilot?
For the Alexa?
For the, yeah.
Oh, I was excited. I was excited because I had known it before because I went over to my nephew's and he had bought one. And that's the first time I saw it. And I got excited when I got mine. And he has a 10-year-old boy and he was so excited when he found out that I had one. And he tells me different things, that it's a lot of things to do on it. But I'm just learning, I tell him. I said, I'm learning. I'm not into what you do.
Well, tell me what you do.
Well, I go in the morning. I say, good morning, Alexa. And she said something that's discovery, something like she said something about the cherry blossoms in Washington. And she said they were in 1812, Japan gave them the cherry blossoms. Then I say to her sometimes, what is the weather outside? And then I say, what is the news today? She'll tell me the news. And then I sometimes I'll say, what time is it? And I put some music on there already. I told her I wanted on Pandora. I wanted Barbara Streisand. And so I listened to that sometimes. And then she did Fiddler on the Roof. And then at night, I say, good night, Alexa, good night. And she'll say to me, good night, happy dreams. Sometimes she'll say, have a good night. Sometimes she'll say, did you have a good day? And it's like talking to somebody that's in the room. I mean, it's like I get real excited because I know when I was young, my mother used to put us to bed. And she would say good night, you know, and have a good night. And it brings back memories.
That's Edith Yankelov, who lives at Weinberg Woods Senior Housing here on The Record on WYPR. We're talking about an AARP pilot that connects seniors with voice-activated technology to combat loneliness. Also with us is Lisa Budlow, Vice President, Aging and Community at CHI, Comprehensive Housing Assistance Incorporated. Lisa, what's the response you've heard from other seniors to the pilot?
So the seniors that are engaged in the pilot love it. They're fascinated by the technology. They have said things like, how can this machine know so many things? It's really engaging those who are using it. We've heard people, as Edith was saying, talk about learning from it, hearing news from it, learning facts, learning history from it. And as Edith mentioned, we're hearing from a lot of folks that it's producing that emotional response that can really combat loneliness that is all too common in older adults as they're aging.
Edith, do you ever use Alexa to help organize an event that you want to go to? I mean, does she tell you that things are available?
She did one day. She said to me, you're going to have the librarian come next Monday to speak. We have once a month the librarian come from Pikesville. And she said she's going to come. She told me the date and the time and everything.
So she helps you keep organized that way.
Yes, yes.
Lisa, does the staff at CHI make information like that available to the residents?
Yes, that's exactly how it works. And that's the new app that ARP is testing through Alexa. And the really important thing about this is that older adults at this stage of their lives are combating isolation and loneliness. They're terms that are often used interchangeably, but they really have an important distinction. Isolation refers to the instances in which someone sees other people, gets out, and actually interacts with other people. So this calendar app is targeting the combating isolation to remind people of the activities that are happening in the building or in their community, and to encourage them to get out and actually interact with other people. And at the same time, the emotional response that we were speaking about helps to combat that loneliness, which is really sort of a feeling of distress as a result of not having meaningful interactions with people. So this technology is really hitting at the issue of isolation and loneliness from both angles.
Speaking of other people, Edith, have you encouraged other residents to use the voice-activated technology?
Yes, I have a friend across the hall from me, and I've tried her to get one. She said no, she's not into it. And then we have a new tenant that moved in recently, and I told her about it. She does have a computer, and she's got an iPad, and she said she might be interested in it. I'm trying to get people to do it, but some of them don't want it. I mean, they just say they don't want it. But I love it. I mean, I love it. It's just like talking to somebody, you know, and when you want to talk to somebody and, you know, I talk to them. Because I talk to my cat, but sometimes I talk to Alexa. And my cat likes it. He don't know where it's coming from. He sees the voice, but he's looking where is it coming from.
Lisa, what kind of support do seniors get in using and learning to use the technology?
So CHI operates the Weinberg Senior Living Building, so one of which is Weinberg Woods that Edith lives in. We have 15 buildings. Weinberg Woods happens to be attached physically to the Meyerberg Center, which is also operated by CHI, and it is a senior community center. We have just established a new technology hub within the Meyerberg Center. So physically, the residents of Weinberg Woods can actually get over to that technology hub without even going outside through a connected corridor. So the idea of the technology hub is to help older adults get over the barriers of adapting to technology. The concept that we founded this hub on is that older adults will be eager to engage with the technology and will build skills quickly with the proper assistance. And we have absolutely found that to be true. So we have a technology concierge who staffs the hub, and she is available to work one-on-one with seniors who are using technology. And she's also teaching classes, focusing mainly on mobile technology to help seniors really build the tools that they need to take advantage of today's technology.
Edith, what does your family think about your relationship with Alexa?
Oh, they love it. Well, one nephew has a little boy 10 years old, and he's real excited about it because he likes going into these things, and we talk about it. He talks to me about it. And I have another nephew that's 19 years old, and he's the one that started me when I got my computer because he was younger, and he said to me one day, he said, "How old are you and you don't have a computer?" And that's when I went out and bought a computer.
Lisa, what happens after the pilot? Are there plans to continue voice-activated technology somehow?
Yes, we would love to continue. We have a great partnership, as I mentioned, with AARP Foundation. Our missions are really aligned in helping connect seniors to the tools that will help enhance their lives for today, and especially as it relates to social connectedness. So we found through the pilot that Edith is a rapid adapter. Some of the other residents are a little slower to adapt. So we really are looking forward to continuing this work so that we can really bring all of the seniors along with us on this technological journey. We're trying to build the confidence, and some folks build confidence quicker than others. But we're really confident that they're all going to get there. And as soon as they're willing to learn, they are eager students, and they build the skills rapidly, and they're really enjoying it. So we do hope to continue this work.
Well, this sounds exciting and sort of like fun, too. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Lisa Budlow is Vice President, Aging and Community at CHI, Comprehensive Housing Assistance Incorporated. Edith Yankelov, who lives at Weinberg Woods Senior Housing, participates in this AARP Foundation pilot that connects seniors with voice-activated technology to combat loneliness. Earlier, we spoke with Zach Leverance of the AARP Foundation. We have several links at the On the Record page at WYPR.org if you'd like to know more. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cass. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.